We're going to go to Jeremiah this morning in God's Word. I'm excited. I'm always excited about God's Word. I love the Bible. I finished reading through the Bible just a little over a week ago for the I don't know how many times. I have read through the Bible. I can't even guess. I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible. And every time I finish reading the Bible, I always do the same thing. I start again. I start over. And the reason I start over is because although the Bible has never changed, I have. I'm always different the next time through the Bible than I was the previous time through the Bible. So although God's Word is unchanging, since I keep changing, I know that I'm going to read it differently this time than I read it last time. It's going to impact me differently. It's going to affect my life differently because I'm not who I was. And it's the same in your life. You keep growing as well. So I want to encourage you to stay in God's Word, to be faithful in God's Word. If you want to grow in Him, it's going to take being a student of the Word of God, spending time in the Scriptures in order for that to happen. When I read my Bible, I pray while I read it. I pray the passages as I go through. My prayer and Bible reading time are just completely intertwined in my life as I pray through the verses that I'm reading. And God, help me to do that and keep me out of this in my life and help me to grow in this area. So pray through the Scriptures. Stay in His Word. We're going to go to His Word today in Jeremiah chapter number 16. It's an exciting Word that I believe is going to encourage us and equip us, which is always our desire when we come to it together. Jeremiah 16, verses 14 and 15. It says this, "However, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, 'As surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt.' But they will say, 'As surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them. For I will restore them to the land I gave their forefathers.'" Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. This is an encouraging word. I know we'll have to break it down a little bit and explain it to kind of catch the truth in it perhaps, but I believe it's a word that's going to encourage and equip us in our walk with you. It's going to build our faith, Lord God. So I pray that over it, Lord. I pray that it will accomplish all that it is sent forth to do as it always does. And I pray that we will be strengthened and renewed through it, be glorified in our lives in new way as we walk in this and as we grow in you. We ask it in the strong name of Jesus Christ. And from wherever you are, if you would pray along with me at this time and just pray, Father, here I am. Speak to my heart through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. There is a transition that is coming that the prophet Jeremiah brings to God's children in this verse. And he speaks of a change that is going to take place in their lives. And it's not so much that God's going to change, but their circumstances are going to change and how they're going to respond about it are going to change. And this verse kind of highlights that transition. You see, God's children had a story that they loved to tell. They loved to tell this particular story. There had been a time in their history, and you probably know the story well also, there had been a time in their history where they had been slaves for 400 plus years in the land of Egypt. For over 400 years, they're in Egypt as slaves. And after 400 years in slavery, we know that God called Moses, and Moses came down there with his staff and his brother Aaron to declare before Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And through a series of plagues, and I won't walk through all of them, but miraculous signs and wonders, Pharaoh finally gave in and says, "All right, you can leave." But when they left, we know the story. They got out there and they got up against the bank of the Red Sea only to discover that Pharaoh had changed his mind. And the leader, this world leader who had said you can go, was now pursuing them with his army. And trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, they cried out. They cried out at Moses. "Moses, weren't there graves in Egypt? Why'd you bring us out here to die in this place?" But Moses told them to stand still and they would see the salvation of the Lord. And Moses went and he stretched out his staff over the water, and a strong wind came and blew all night, and it parted the water and dried the ground, and they crossed on dry ground. Come on, we all know this story. Pharaoh's army pursued them into the water, and the water closed in. When Moses stretched out his staff on the other side, they all drowned, and God delivered them. Come on. If that happened in your life, you got to know you'd love to tell that story. You've got stories you like to tell over and over again as well. And they love to tell it. They would always tell the story of, remember what God did. Centuries later, they would get together and they would say, oh, there was a time when we were slaves and God brought us out through signs and wonders and we went through the walls of water and the army was swept by the water that pursued us and God set us free. It was a story that they loved to tell. And it was a good story. It was a good one. Jeremiah comes to God's children now many years later and they are captives in Babylon. And he comes to this people who are in captivity in Babylon, and he brings this word that we just read, where he says to them, no longer, he says, a day is coming where no longer is it going to be said, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of Egypt. But instead, he says, now you're going to say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought us up out of the land of the north. That's where they are now. You know what God was saying through the prophet to Jeremiah to them? God's going to give you a new story. God's going to give you a new story. Hey, what happened in the past in your lives and in your history, that was wonderful and that was good, but God's going to give you a new story now. God's going to do something new in your life. You're going to come out of this and come through this situation. There are going to be new miracles. There are going to be new acts of deliverance. There's going to be new miraculous provision. There are going to be new victories over your enemies. There's going to be new open doors. God's going to give you a new story to tell in your life, praise God. This was a prophetic word. It was a prophetic word over God's people about how God deals with his people and who he is. Let's remember that although I said I keep reading the Bible because I keep changing, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way God did things then is the way God does things now. Although God does new things, he's consistent in his nature and in his character. So things change in our lives, but we always can count on the faithfulness of God in our lives. He's the same. And I believe that God always wants to give his children a new story. God always wants to give his children a new testimony of what he's doing in their lives. Because you have stories as well. I have stories also. We all have them. We all have times where we can look back and say, let me tell you about the time. And you can tell about the time where you didn't know how you were going to make it, and God brought you through. You can tell about the time where there was no way you were going to have what you needed, and God provided. You can tell about the time when you were sick, and God restored your health. You could tell about the time where God moved in a relationship, opened a door, gave you an opportunity. We all have these stories in our lives of what God did in the past, and they're wonderful. They're like Ebenezer moments, we could call them. You say, well, Pastor, what would that be? There was a time where God confounded the Philistines and confused them, and he did this to deliver his children when they were going to have to fight a battle against an outnumbered enemy. And when he did this and confused them, the prophet Samuel came and he set up a stone afterwards, and he called that stone in that place Ebenezer, and Ebenezer meant here to this place, hitherto to this place, God has helped us. Those moments in our lives are powerful. I love those Ebenezer moments in my life. Times I can look back and they build my faith and say, man, you know what? Here's what God did. They're good things to hold on to in our lives. But I want you to know that there's always a new story that's coming as well. There's always a new testimony that's coming as well, because God keeps moving in our lives. He keeps moving in your life. He keeps moving in my life. He wants to do that. God is just really into new things. Maybe you are. Maybe you're really into new things. My wife's probably watching from a little island in the Caribbean right now where she's suffering, eating food that she loves with her sisters. I know she misses me as well as I do her. But my wife, I'm not saying I don't like new things, but my wife likes new things as well. Maybe you're somebody who likes new things. Maybe there's somebody out there where you just like getting something new. Well, you know what? God likes new things. God likes new things. Now remember, God has unlimited resources. So be careful with your like for new things. God doesn't run out of anything. But God likes new things. He likes to do things new. And I want to remind you of that today, because it'll reassure us of how God works in our life. And this first thing I want you to catch today is that God begins all of this by making us new. We're talking today about how God wants to give you a new story. It's how God always works in our lives. It all starts in our lives when God makes us new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." God makes us new when we come to Him. Most all of us watching have a testimony of when we came to faith in Jesus Christ. We committed our faith to Him, and when we said to Jesus that we believed in Him, the Bible tells us, we just looked at this 3 or 4 Sundays ago, the Bible tells us that we were saved by grace. It was the gift of God through faith, through our faith in Jesus. And we have the story to tell of when that happened in our lives. If you don't have that story of when that happened in your life, it's a story that God wants you to be able to tell. In fact, it's the first new story that God wants to give you, is the story of your salvation when you put your faith in Him and He redeemed you and made you new. Mine was one summer as a teenager. One summer as a teenager, I'd been through so many things, and I won't tell my whole story right now for the sake of time. I want to get to other things. But I ended up in a little tiny sanctuary on a Sunday evening. It was just a little double-wide trailer that had been turned into a church. It was a fraction of the size of the room that I'm standing in right now. And sitting on the very back pew, I walked forward on a Sunday evening, having been invited there, and someone prayed with me to invite Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I will never forget it. What a powerful story and time it is in my life when that took place. God changed me. When I left that little sanctuary that night, I was new. I was new. I know someone who began their relationship with Jesus on a camping trip. They were out camping in the woods, and somebody who was out camping with them told them about Jesus and prayed with them, and they came home from the camping trip new. They weren't who they were when they first left on the camping trip. I know a woman who got up one morning and she told me the story of how she was sitting on the side of her bed early in the morning. And she said, "Sitting on the side of my bed, I realized I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. And I sat there on the side of my bed and I prayed and I said, 'God, forgive me. Jesus, would you be my Lord and my Savior?'" And she stood up from her bed and she went into her day new. The old was gone. The new had come. I know a man who declared to Jesus that he needed Him in his life, standing on a sidewalk watching his home burn to the ground. He told me the story, Claude Myers. He said, "I stood there and watched my home and everything I had worked for burn to the ground. And standing there, I realized that nothing on earth would ever really be enough to satisfy me. And I stood there and I prayed and I said, 'God, forgive me. Jesus, come and live in my heart.' I prayed to Him and He walked away from that sidewalk a new man. I know a man who asked God to forgive him from his bed in a jail cell. He got up the next morning new. I know a guy who gave his life to Jesus watching a Billy Graham crusade on television. When the broadcast went off, he was new. I know a guy who pulled a track off the windshield of his car, a little gospel track, and sat there and read it in his car, and in his car prayed and said, 'Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life,' and drove away new." There's so many stories, and you've got one as well. They're all unique, but they all have something in common, and that is everyone was made new. Old things passed away. The new is what came. God loves to make things new. Doesn't matter if you grew up in church or learned about your need for a Savior later in life. God doesn't do fixer-uppers. God doesn't simply clean us up a little bit. God makes us new. And the God who washes all our sins away, He casts them into a sea of forgetfulness. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions, our sins from us. God does this in our lives. So when Jeremiah comes with this word from God that God is going to write a new story in the lives of his people, it was consistent with how God always does things, and it's consistent with how God is always going to do things. God likes to make new things. So God makes you new. God makes me new. It's a good word to hold on to. But here's a good word. After God makes us new, you know what he does? God keeps renewing. God keeps renewing. He continues to make us new. Now, maybe you've got some subscription services. I'm not maybe talking about magazines so much, although I guess some of those are still around. But we sign up for different streaming services or apps on our phones or whatever else. And I've downloaded an app on my phone before that I had to pay for, and then I don't even give it any thought. Maybe I'm not even using the app anymore. But 1 year later, what happens? Bang, there's the charge on my statement. They got me. I didn't cancel it, so they charged me again. Automatic renewal. They just automatic renew. They just want to keep on giving you a new year, a new service, unless you cancel it. Well, God's a lot like that, but in a very positive, good way. God keeps renewing us. He does this in our lives. You don't have to sign up again. God's renewal plan lasts a lifetime. But unlike those services that are going to charge your credit card, Jesus already paid the price for God's renewal plan, praise God. Hear these words that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write to the church in 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17. It says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Outwardly wasting away, but inwardly renewed day by day. Now I can pick on Raul for a little bit right here. Raul was back there on the drums earlier. You might not have been able to see him, but you could hear him, and we appreciate him and all those who lead us in worship and song on Sundays. But I know that Raul was out on the paintball course yesterday afternoon, and he did tell me this morning before the service about how he was feeling a little sore from his time out on the paintball course. Raul, he's over here to my right if you were in this room. As I've said before, Raul still sits where he always sat when he comes into the sanctuary. That's his seat, so you can't have it when you come back. Raul, you know why that is. It's because the outward man is wasting away, is what the Bible says. Now, you don't look like you're wasting away yet. I think you still got a couple of good years left in you, so I think he's going to stick around for a while. But the outward man ages. The outward man wears that. No matter what we do to take care of our bodies, our physical bodies keep wearing out. But the good news is that our inner beings, our inner men, who you are within as a woman of God, that individual is renewed day by day. That's good news, because you might need to be something today that you weren't yesterday, but God's going to renew you for this day. The God who makes you new when you come to faith in Christ, he then keeps renewing you day by day. And the same prophet, Jeremiah, who brought this word, he's also whose words we read in Lamentations. And in Lamentations chapter 3, we read this, "Because of the Lord's great love," come on, aren't you glad God loves you? "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." I will wait for him. Come on, God's mercies were new to us this morning. You and I, we woke up this morning to the new mercies of God. Now, I wake up every morning, 7 days a week, I've told you before, to this sound. This is what I wake up to. 7 days a week, I wake up to this. That is what I wake up to. I don't set an alarm. I never need an alarm clock. Every day, it's usually like 5:30-ish. Sometimes I get a break and it's as late as 6. But every single day I wake up to, And what that sound is, that is Mr. Fox, who is my dog, my wire fox terrier, standing beside me, communicating to me, "Hey, buddy, it's time to get me out of the house. He's ready to relieve himself, if you will. So he's there, and he's like clockwork, this dog, that he's ready to go. And it works for me because I take him, and then I can go for a jog or whatever in the morning, and it works on my schedule to do that. But what I need to do is train myself that when I hear, because see, here's what happens. In the old days, I had an alarm clock, and when the alarm clock would go off, I used to say that was the most horrifying sound in all of the universe, was the alarm clock. It's like, no matter how many times you hear it, you don't want to hear it. It sounds terrible. Now, sometimes when I hear Mr. Fox, I'm like, oh, I got to retrain myself that when I hear, to think to myself, I just received new mercies from God. I just received new mercies from God. This is the announcement that new mercies are mine for today. And the other good news is this, is when I got up this morning, and when you got up this morning, or when you woke up, if you're still in your bed, when we woke up this morning, you were renewed for this day. Day by day. God keeps making us new. He renews us, praise God. He does it in your life and in my life. God knows that we need to keep growing in Him, so He keeps doing this in our lives, praise God. There's another passage that many of us will be familiar with that goes along the same line as the word that Jeremiah brought. It's in Isaiah chapter 43, where the Bible tells us in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." I want you to catch today, family, that the same God who told his children in Babylon that he was going to write a new story for them is the God who's going to keep doing that in your life as well. God sent this word that they were going to, he says, hey, you're not going to just keep telling the story of what happened in the past. You're not going to just keep recalling what happened last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. That was wonderful. That was good. But God was saying, there's going to be a story now in your life of how God brought you through the present situation that you're in, where you're at right now. Every one of you who's listening to me, what you're facing right now, whatever it is you're dealing with right now, whatever it is you're up against, I want you to receive this. Whatever is before you right now, I want you to receive this. God is saying that a story is going to come out of this as well. What you're facing right now, God is going to renew you day by day. His mercies are new each morning, and you're going to come out of whatever you're up against now with a testimony also, where you'll be able to look back and say, let me tell you about what God did. Let me tell you about how God brought me through that one. Let me tell you about how God opened the door, how God provided, how God directed my path. God still has new testimonies to give you as well. If you're a teen, you're not just going to tell stories that you learned from the Bible when you were a little kid. You're going to have stories of how God came through for you in 2020 in your life. That doesn't take away from what God has already done, but God's going to write new stories in your life. Single adult, you're going to tell stories about how God brought you out of what you're facing right now. Married couple, you're going to testify of how God moved in new ways in your lives. Parents, you're going to look back at 2020, and as crazy as 2020 was, you're going to look back and recall how God gave you what you needed to handle working and virtual school and everything at the same time. God's going to do that in your life. If you're unemployed, you're going to look back and have a story of provision in your life. Senior adult, you're going to look back not just on what happened when you were young, but you're going to have a new story. I don't care how old you are, if you're listening to me right now, God still has new stories for you. There's still new stories of what God wants to do in your life as well. And I want you to believe and hold on to that. God loves to make things new. God loves to do it. We've seen how He's done it in the past. We're walking in it in our lives today. And as we look ahead to eternity, we see that He never stops doing it. Just as a final thought today to encourage us in this before we pray and believe God for it. And that's the truth, that God is going to make all things new. God does this. He makes everything new. Have you noticed that things on earth are a little bit crazy right now? Have you picked up on that? Anybody noticed that things are a little different than they were before? And things, see, 2020 took crazy to a whole new level. Life was already crazy at times. Life was already difficult at times. But 2020 took crazy to a whole new level. I mean, I mentioned my wife today that she's in Puerto Rico with her dad. She flies down to the island. She goes to see her dad. If it was 2019, you know what she'd do? She would just go to the hospital to see her dad. But it's not 2019. It's 2020. So what does she have to do? First, she has to go to a lab. She has to get a COVID test because they won't let her in the hospital unless she has a negative COVID test to show them to get in. But then that test is only good for 7 days. So after 7 days, what do you have to do? You got to go get tested again so you can still go back in to see your dad. 2020 took crazy to a whole new level. School was already crazy at time. There's a student listening to me. School was already crazy at time, but now it's virtual school. Now it took crazy to a new level. If you're teaching school, it already had its challenges, but now it's completely different altogether. My neighbor is a school teacher, and the other night I came out walking my dog as she came out of her home, and I said, "How's it going?" And she looked at me and said, "I'm exhausted." She says, "This is so much more difficult than the classroom to be in this situation." And it just, everything got so different in this year altogether. And it's true in every area of our lives. Thankfully, the God who makes us new keeps renewing us day by day. But it's good to know that one day is coming when God is going to make all things new. Everything will be new. When John had his revelation, he heard Jesus speak about it, and he wrote it in Revelation 21. 21:5 says this, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Before John heard Jesus say that, he had just seen something pretty spectacular. He also wrote it. It's in Revelation 21, 1 through 3. Catch this. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Here's a great truth. God's ultimate goal of renewal is to become perfectly united with his people, just as things were in the Garden of Eden. And we'll get back to that. That's the plan of God. So God makes us new when we come to faith in him. God has new mercies every morning. God renews us day by day. And God is making all things new for eternity. God loves to do new things. Well, let me start to pull this together. I'm doing the cooking at my house right now because it's just me. And I do cook, and I'm a vegetable eater. My wife's not as much into vegetables, and a lot of Latinos are not, but I am. So yesterday I'm roasting veggies and made homemade cabbage and the whole bit, and I'm in there. But reality is I cannot outcook my wife. She definitely can outcook me considerably. And she's always a good cook, but the cooking is especially good if you're coming over. And you say, "Well, what do you mean, Pastor?" I mean, if there's guests coming over, well, then she tends to go all out, all right? So always good for me, but now she's really cooking. So guests can be coming over. Maybe my wife is putting out this big Puerto Rican spread when the guests are coming over. And I mean, there's a pot of rice, and the beans are there seasoned up all good, and whatever else is on the stove she's making, there's meat there and all, and all the food is there. And my wife gets all the food rolling really good, and the house smells amazing, and she's just cooking away. And once it's all set and the food is good, and all that's kind of left is maybe for it to just be on the burner a little bit longer, it's all prepped, she then goes off to get herself ready. So she heads off to take a shower and get herself ready for our guest. At this point, I am assigned the task of monitor the food. Please monitor the food. Make sure nothing burns. The burners aren't too hot, whatever. It's my job just to keep an eye on the food and know it's okay. Now, she's never communicated this to me directly, but I have also understood that part of my job at this time is to taste all of the food. I believe that's an important part of my role at this time while I'm waiting. So because I'm always thinking of others and I want to know that what my wife serves is good and that our guests will be pleased. I take it upon myself to know, because I'm thinking of others, let me taste everything that my wife has made so that I know that it's good. So I go through and I'm tasting the rice and the beans and whatever meat is prepared. And then what I do so that my wife looks good is then I reposition the food and I move it around so that you can't tell that anything has been taken out of it. And the reason I do that is just because I know that the presentation will be important for my wife. So again, I'm doing that just because I'm thinking of others altogether. So I taste it, and it all tastes so good always when I eat this food. But here's the thing. It's just a taste. It's just a taste. Once you arrive, once our guests arrive and sit down, now the whole meal is put out, and now we eat, and I really get to eat, and I'm satisfied. I'm full. I'm stuffed. Before it was just a taste, but now it's all full. Man, I love the presence of God now. I love the presence of God. I love to worship God. I love to worship, man. I love to sing to God. I love to sing His praises. I love to do that. I know that so many and perhaps all of you do as well. And when we worship, when we're with Him, we experience the presence of God. When I open my Bible and read it, I experience the presence of God. When I talk to Him, I know that He's with me. But I also know this, it's just a taste. It's just a taste. It's not really what God has prepared for us. It's not the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness that the Bible spoke of that we read. God's preparing all things new for all of eternity. And what hope that gives us that, man, when we're in the presence of God now, how incredible it is, but it should fill our hearts with hope of what's going to come. God made you new when you called on Him. If you haven't done that, you need to. After you did, God said, I'm going to give you new mercies every morning, and I'm going to renew you day by day. And then after that, we also have this promise, this hope that we hold on to, that God is preparing, and He is making all things new for all of eternity. God loves new things. He loves to do them. He loves to make them. He loves to hold on to them. Praise God. Praise God. I was talking to a psychiatric nurse one time. I'm about done. I'm ending right here with this. I was talking to a psychiatric nurse one time. In fact, Juliana, why don't you join me if you would? And it was many years ago, and her name was Catherine. And I said to Catherine, I said, let me ask you something. Now, I don't want to minimize any kind of mental struggles or disorders with this story that I'm about to tell. I realize there are a lot of different factors that play into depression and things like that, and sometimes they're physical and different things bring them on as well. But I do want to share this story with you. And Catherine had worked in this field for several decades at this time. And I was speaking with her. I said, Catherine, I said, I've noticed something in my life. I've noticed that two people can go through seemingly the same set of circumstances, and one of them kind of really falls apart, and the other one seems to just get through it, and they come out stronger, and they're okay. I said, Catherine, what do you think is the difference between those two individuals? And this is what Catherine said to me. She says, one of them has hope, and the other one does not. She says, when people believe that things will never get better, that they will always be bad, they can't handle that mentally. It's just such a toll on them. She said, but when you have hope, when you have hope, you keep going. Church, we're the believers in Jesus Christ. We're the family of God. Hope is ours. It's a hope that does not disappoint, the Bible says. We trust in Him. So no matter what you're facing today, this year, this month, this week, this very day, you face it knowing God's mercies are new for today. He's renewing me day by day. He has an eternal plan of making all things new. I can keep going and trust in Him and follow Him. And as I do, I'm going to get a new story. You've got stories. You've got the story of what God did last year. You've got the story of what God did in 1985 or 1996 or 2002 or 2014. You've got those stories. But God's going to give you a 2020 story. God's writing new stories now in your life and in my life as well, where the day will come where we will look back and say, let me tell you about what God did then. Come on, Jeremiah came and he said, no longer are you going to tell the story about when you came out of Egypt. You're going to get a new story to tell. God loves to do new things, new things. Now, each of us could be at a different place as I close this. Unless there is YouTube in heaven, no one is watching this who is in eternity yet. But I want you to let the truth that God is going to make all things new give you hope. Give you hope, praise God. Most of us watching this have already put our faith in Jesus Christ. We've already asked God to forgive us of our sins and invited Jesus to live in our hearts and be the Lord of our lives. When we did that, God made us new. But it's also possible that someone is watching this who has not done that yet. And if that's you, you need to do that. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. God wants 2020 to be your story of new life, where you would say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I mentioned all those great stories before that people had of when they began a relationship with Him. It's your turn to say, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come and live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. I give my life to you. And if you make that decision while you're watching this, I hope you'll let someone know that you're with, or I hope you'll let us know here at the church. You can Facebook message us. You can email us. You can contact us here at the office. We just want to know so that we can help you along the way in your walk with Him. God doesn't want you to live for Him alone. He puts you in a family of God, where we can help one another as we grow in Him. So make sure you let somebody know about that. But for the rest of us, here's what I want us to remember today. And that is that God has new stories for you to tell. New stories for you to tell, praise God. The God who does all things new still wants to keep doing new things in your life. Let that fill your heart with hope today. Let it motivate you as you wake up each day, no matter what that day looks like, to know, you know what? The mercies are new this morning. I'm renewed for today. God's going to give me a new story to tell in my life of how He came through. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. Do something new, I pray. Do something new. Right now, there's a woman listening to me who loves you. She loves you, God, but she's up against something that seems overwhelming. She's got stories of what you did in the past, but what she's up against right now is overwhelming. God, write a new story in her life, I pray. Let a new testimony come of deliverance, of provision, of healing, of renewal, whatever it is. Let her have a new story to tell, I pray. Right now, Lord God, I know there's a man listening to me. He's up against something that seems like he doesn't know how he's going to handle it. He doesn't know which way to go, what direction to turn. Write a new story in his life, I pray, Lord God. Lord God, the past testimonies that he has are wonderful, but do something new. Do something new, we pray. There's a student listening right now, and just the task of school this year seems overwhelming, but that student can testify of things you've done in the past in their lives. Write a new story for them now in 2020, I pray, Lord God. Do it for each of us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And God, we won't fail to give you the praise and the honor and the glory and tell that story to others of what you did in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'm so glad you joined us today in this online service. Expect new things in your life even this week. I know you're going to be renewed day by day. And if you're available, you're comfortable with it, we'd love to see you on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. right out on the lawn as we sing God's praise and go after God together. Have a victorious week in Christ Jesus.